coming to that church, and the guy up the front just keeps telling everybody to keep a distance. And they even got stickers to say, stay away from me. All right, if you have your Bibles, you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we started a couple of weeks ago looking at a witnessing series. And I kind of wanted, we're trying to help people just feel a little bit more comfortable with sharing their faith. So the reason that we've got challenges in the bulletin every week is not because we just want to fill up that much space in the bulletin. We just want to try and give people the tools and to help you have a little bit of confidence when it comes to talking to somebody about your faith. The verses are in there not because, you know, we want to check people's memories. The verses are there so you know where to go to if, you know, if you wanted to try and show somebody in the scripture what it means to be lost, what God did for them, what the result is, and what we have to do in order to receive Christ as our Savior. So we're just trying to help in any way we can to give us the tools that we need just to try and witness. So when we first started this series, we looked at the why of witnessing. And if we could understand the why, then the how becomes a little bit easier. And then we started looking at different excuses as to why we can't witness. We looked at Moses at the burning bush, offer those excuses. Who am I? What would I say? I don't know, sent me, you know, send somebody else and I don't speak properly. And we saw how God can even turn our excuses as what we perceive as weaknesses, that God can actually flip that and turn those into strengths. Because when we realize, just as Moses, when he said, well, who am I? Who are we? You know, we are nobody special to be able to share the gospel. We've been entrusted with this incredible message. You know, when you think that God could have used the angels of heaven to proclaim his greatness, which obviously one day the heavenly host will declare his glory. We understand that. But God has used us, sinners saved by grace, to share the most incredible message ever given to mankind. But we use plenty of excuses. And we looked at some of the excuses that the disciples could have used. Peter and John were ignorant and unlearned men. They could have turned around and said, we're just fishermen. Who are we to, you know, to go and share this message? Who are we to stand in front of the religious elite of the day? Because we're nobody. But because they were ignorant and unlearned men, the Sanhedrin took knowledge of them. They stood out. What did they stand out for? Was it because of their speech? Was it because of their intellect? No, they stood out because they'd been with Jesus. And then last week we looked at Philip. Philip the evangelist. Philip, as he, you know, ran alongside the chariot and talked to the Ethiopian eunuch about the Lord Jesus Christ. But prior to that, Philip had a really bad experience in Samaria where Simon came to know the Lord and was baptized and then wanted a prophet from the Holy Spirit. So Philip could have turned around and said, oh, I had a nightmare the last time. I had a witnessing encounter. Therefore, I'm not doing that again. I'm not going down that road again. But he didn't. He witnessed. God said, go to the desert, to the south, which is the desert. And he arose and went. And we use plenty of excuses. You know, sometimes we use the excuse of, oh, yeah, well, I'm just not, you know, I'm not intelligent enough to witness to the Lord. You have to be intelligent to witness for what the Lord has done for you. You don't have to be a deep theologian to tell people what Christ has done in your heart. Ah, yeah, but, you know, the last witnessing encounter I had was a disaster. So was Philip's, but his next witnessing encounter was incredible. You know, but we use those excuses to not witness for the Lord. And I think probably one of the biggest excuses we use, well, let me ask you this. What is the main reason why we don't witness today? What's the biggest excuse that we have? So your fear of witnessing is because they won't believe or because they reject. Anybody else? What's your biggest excuse for not witnessing? Phil? Ridicule? Lack of confidence. Let's be honest, we're scared. We are literally scared to witness. We're scared to talk to somebody about the Lord because of those reasons, because they won't believe, because they'll reject, because they'll ridicule. But deep down, we're actually afraid to talk to people about the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, I get a little bit envious of people who just have that absolute ability to go up to somebody and just start up a conversation and swing it round and quite comfortably talk about the Lord. Because I have like one of two outcomes. I'm either scared and you back off, or you just want to fight. Because how dare you not accept? How dare you not believe? How dare you reject the Lord? But I think deep down, each and every one of us would have, and I'm going to turn this around. If you're not scared, then there's a problem. Because then you're relying upon yourself and you've got an overconfidence. And let me tell you something, God will cut you down to size if you try and do something in your strength. But being scared is okay. That's not a fault or a failure or even a weakness, being scared. Because it's in those instances that God is able to work through us, because then it's not of us. Because that is not something we would naturally do. We'll talk to anybody about anything else. We'll talk about the weather. We'll talk about rugby. We'll talk about sport. We'll talk about whatever. What was on the telly the other night? But then when it comes to talking about the Lord, even though that's the most important topic that should come from our lips, sometimes we find it the most difficult one to talk about. First Corinthians chapter 2. Listen to what Paul said in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. He said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day and for this time together to be able to come around your word. We just ask now, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Father, we do ask that you would help us when it comes to witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we recognize the fact that it's okay to be scared, because it's in those moments that we rely even more upon you than we do upon ourselves. So, Father, would you help us even to overcome this fear of opening our mouths and just preaching the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you help us when it comes to having those opportunities to talk to others about you? And Father, we are just so grateful that we have this gift of eternal life which comes through Christ. So help us to share that gift with others. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. How many of you have ever tried to make a good impression, a good first impression, and then have absolutely bombed because you're trying too hard? Have you ever had somebody say that to you, that, "Oh, you're trying too hard"? You know, sometimes, I don't know, maybe it was a first date and maybe you wanted the date to go absolutely perfectly, and maybe you said something you wouldn't normally say. Maybe you acted in a way that you wouldn't normally act. Maybe it was a job interview. Maybe you went for a job interview and again you're trying to make this good first impression, and what ends up happening is you start talking like somebody else. It's not you. You know, those words, and the amount of times I interviewed people for a job, and you knew they were the perfect person for the job. You knew that they had the qualifications, they had the experience, that they would be brilliant in the position that they were applying for, and they could do the job standing on their heads, and then they sit in front of you then to interview for the job, and they fall apart. And you're like, you feel like saying, "Stop! Go back out, come back into the office, and just be yourself." And I think sometimes we're the same when it comes to witnessing. We suddenly feel like we have to be somebody different. That, you know, it can't be me now. It has to be some kind of deep theologian now in order to talk to somebody about the Lord. And Paul said, "Brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech." If you think about it, Paul was potentially the greatest orator apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, while we were given to just hear Paul preach, but he said, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Paul didn't come with fancy words. Paul could have come into to Corinth and he could have blown them away. That's what Greek culture wanted. Greek culture wanted an orator. It didn't matter what the subject was. Even in a court of law, if the person was innocent, but the person defending them wasn't as good speaking as the person prosecuting them, oftentimes innocent people were punished because of the way people spoke. That's what the Greeks responded to. That's what they were in awe of. But Paul said, I came not with excellency of speech. I didn't come to blow you away. I didn't come to make you go, oh, wow, what a speaker. And here's the thing. When we talk about the Lord, Andrew made mention of this last night at men's meeting. When we talk about the Lord, we don't want people to say, oh, wow, what an awesome preacher. What an awesome person to witness. What an awesome, oh, he was great. No. We want people to say, that sounds like an awesome Savior. The Greeks were impressed with eloquent speakers, but Paul wasn't there to impress people with their speech. Paul said, "I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." And sometimes, first of all, we are scared because we don't know what to say. We don't know how to say it. You know, we try and learn verses and we try and memorize verses. And Andrew made an awesome point last night. He said, it's all very well and good asking the Spirit to bring something to our remembrance. But if we're not spending time in the Scripture in the first place, how can we ever expect the Spirit to bring to remembrance what we've not put in the first place? You know, who remembers? It wasn't that long ago, I don't think. Remember VHS? We won't talk about Betamax. Do we have a Betamax? No, that's okay then. VHS. Great. Remember when, you know, before you had like Freeview and Netflix and Amazon Prime and you could just like kind of bring up a film on the TV, or you had to record stuff off the telly. You couldn't pause live TV. You had to put a videotape in. I remember one time desperately, Christmas time, I loved Christmas, getting the TV times on the, or the radio times, whatever it was you fancied, and having a look and highlighting all the films that were coming out. And then getting the TV times in so you could put your video in and record it. It was awesome. But if you wanted to save a video, you picked off that little square on the bottom of the video. And I remember putting a video in one time and setting all the timer up and getting ready to record a film. And I came down the next morning excited. Oh, great, I'm going to watch that. And I put a video in where that little square had come off. How disappointing is that? You know, sometimes we're afraid to witness because we don't know enough. And you say, what's that got to do with the VHS? If we're not prepared in the first place, how can we expect God to use us? If we are not sitting down and reading the Scripture and putting it in and recording it, if you like, in our minds, how then can we expect the Holy Spirit to bring it to our remembrance at the right time? You know, that's why we put these challenges in. That's why we give you Scripture verses to learn. Because you'd be surprised. Oh, I can't remember it. I don't know it. I don't know enough. I don't know. I can't remember. I can't. Oh, there's too much to think of. And I can promise you this. You'll be at a point where you're witnessing to somebody, and all of a sudden the Lord will bring that Scripture to your mind. You think, oh, I did remember it. It was there. But we need to be prepared. You know, Warren Wiersbe tells a story of a certain church that had this beautiful stained glass window at the back of the pulpit. And one Sunday there was a guest preacher who was much smaller, much shorter than the regular pastor. And a little girl listened to the guest for a time and then turned to her mother and asked, "Where is the man who usually stands when we can't see Jesus?" You see, the other pastor was so tall that he covered the stained glass window of the Lord Jesus Christ. when we witness to somebody, we're never meant to cover the Lord. We're meant to reveal him. And people are not meant to just see us. They're meant to see through us to see the Lord. Paul said in verse 2, I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's it. That is the gospel message, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. If we say anything else, then that's a waste of time. And you might say, well, where's that in the Romans Road? But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's the resurrection. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message. And if we're not sharing that with people, then we haven't shared the gospel with them. You know, the world today wants a quick fix. And, you're all right. Just live your life as you please. And, yeah, you'll go to heaven. I remember Pastor Ed saying that, you know, he lived in the Bible Belt, he said, and the amount of times people get saved in the Bible Belt, they just keep getting saved over and over and over again, because people, when witnessing to others, will just simply go up to people and say, see that verse in John 3:16, do you believe that? Well, yeah, I believe that. Great, you're saved. That's not how it works. You know, if we don't share with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, then we're not witnessing. We're not sharing the gospel with people. Paul said, I didn't come with excellency of speech. Oh, I'm scared because I don't know what to say. Just tell them about Jesus. Tell them what Jesus did upon the cross, that we were died, was buried, and was raised again for us. And sometimes, we're not only scared because we don't know what to say, we're scared because we're scared. And then we feel guilty for feeling scared. Oh, well, I shouldn't feel that way. You know, I should have that. Oh yeah, I'm gonna tell everybody about Jesus, and I'm just gonna go out and I'm gonna shout it from the rooftops, and I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna share it with my work colleagues, and I go out and I'm gonna knock on doors and tell people. We should be feeling like that constantly. And then when we're not, we kind of feel scared because we feel scared. We're like, oh, should I be feeling like that? Should this kind of be holding me back? What's wrong with me? But it's okay to be scared. Paul said in verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Paul wasn't trying to impress anybody. He was honest and open. I was with you in weakness. The word weakness is from the word which literally means feebleness. Paul wasn't a well man. He was sick, frail, and he admitted even physical limitations. Paul didn't come in his own strength. We are not to go out in our own strength. We're not to talk to somebody about the Lord in our own strength, because that will always fail. You might win an argument, but you'll lose a soul. I'm sure we've all been there at some point where we felt, yes, I had you. Tried to trick me up and I battered you with the gospel. But that's not what our calling is. Our calling is not to batter people with the gospel. Paul just wanted to reach people. But he was with them in weakness. Feeble, frail. But he was also there in fear. The word fear there is simply where we get the word phobia from. It's the Greek word phobos. And it means dread or terror. Paul admitted his emotional weakness. But he didn't let that fear stop him from doing what God had called him to do, to preach the gospel. He didn't let that fear keep him from serving the Lord, in spite of the physical pain he may have felt, and in spite of the emotional stress he felt because of that fear, that phobia. Imagine if anyone had a justification to stop preaching the gospel, it would have been Paul. The amount of times Paul was beaten, for the cause of Christ. The amount of times he says in 2 Corinthians 11, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. Verse 23, I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day. I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. In spite of all that Paul had suffered because of his witnessing, he still witnessed. But he said he came in weakness and in fear. There was a fear because of what had happened previously. But Paul didn't allow those fears to stop him from doing what God had called him to do. And we're all afraid of something. And that fear is irrational. I remember this is a church that has some of the biggest spiders I've ever seen in my life. Normally under the pews, because they nest. Normally in the back corner, but there's a little nest right under where Lynn is sitting. Lynn don't like spiders. But fear is irrational, and you can't explain why you're scared. We were staying in a cottage up in West Wales, and there was this spider. I'm not scared of spiders, but there was this big spider on the floor, and Joe was in bed, and she's like, "Dad, you better get that spider. I'm not going to bed while that spider's in." Oh, okay. So I go down to pick the spider up. I've never seen something move so quick in all my life. Let me rephrase that. I've never seen two things move so quick in all my life. Because that spider moved, and suddenly I didn't realize that I could move just as quick. It's not a manly thing to suddenly jump from the floor up onto the bed where your wife is trying to get to sleep and yell like a little girl. But it was an irrational fear. Eve used to have a terrible fear of dogs. Awful. She would literally, we'd be walking to the car, or I'd pick it up from school at the bottom of the street, walk it back to the house, and there could be a little dog on the other side of the road on a lead, and Eve would literally run up the side of you and just grab on to you. And I'm like, "Eve, come on. Like, you're learning to drive next week. Surely this should stop by now." But she was petrified. But that's what fear is. Fear is irrational. Now, some people not bothered with spiders. They can have a tarantula in their hand and they can have it crawling up them. I'm not a massive fan of snakes. And yet, like Daniel, my son-in-law, there's something wrong with him. He's like, "Yeah, pick a snake up, no problem." "What's the matter with you? Just leave it there." But fear is irrational. And sometimes we have a fear of talking to people about the Lord. For a number of reasons, because of what was mentioned earlier. What will they think of me? What will they say? What if they reject the message? What if they reject me? What if they ridicule me? I mean, we can go one step further today now in our politically correct world. What if they report me? Because what I say is offensive. What if that's classed as a hate crime or hate speech? But it's okay to be scared. Fear is irrational. But if we admit that fear to the Lord, because I know you're thinking, "Oh, well, God said he's not giving us the spirit of fear." Well, Paul said he came in fear. And if it's okay for Paul to come in fear, then it's okay for me to come in fear. What's not okay is for us to allow that fear to stop us doing what God has commanded us to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Paul said he came in weakness, fear, and in much trembling. Not just trembling, much trembling. Tremos, which literally means quaking with anxiety. This word was used to describe the anxiety of one who distrusts his ability completely to meet all requirements, but religiously does his utmost to fulfill his duty. Paul admitted that he had a shortness in terms of his confidence. If it's okay for Paul to feel that way, it's okay for us to feel like that, but it's not okay for us to allow that to stop us from doing what God has commissioned and commanded us to do. We're scared because we don't know what to say. We're scared because we're scared. We're scared, so guess what? We need help. Paul said in verse 4, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Charles Spurgeon said, "The power that is in the gospel does not lie in the eloquence of the preacher, otherwise men would be the converters of souls, nor does it lie in the preacher's learning, otherwise it would consist in the wisdom of men. We might preach until our tongues rotted, till we should exhaust our lungs and die, but never a soul would be converted unless the Holy Spirit be with the word of God to give it the power to convert the soul." That's what Paul is saying. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words. It wasn't Paul's words. It was the wisdom, not of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul didn't use enticing or persuasive words. We're not there to win an argument. We're not there to impress somebody with how much we know. We're not there to impress somebody with the length of words that we use. We're there to demonstrate the power of God in our lives. The word demonstration, apokdias, is a legal word which means legal proof demonstrated in court. It is a term that signifies that the testimony or proof is irrefutable. If you've been saved by the grace of God, by the blood of Christ, then the evidence is irrefutable. That's what we demonstrate. D.L. Moody was to have a campaign in England, and an elderly pastor protested, "Why do we need this Mr. Moody? He's uneducated and inexperienced. Who does he think he is anyway? Does he think he has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" A younger, wiser pastor rose and responded, "No, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on Mr. Moody." If we want to grow spiritually, then we need to allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives. Who's going to be the one that helps us to be a witness? Who's going to be the one that helps us to have the confidence we need to talk to people? Who's going to be the one that helps us to overcome these fears and do what God has called us to do anyway? Not us. Because we can't do it in our own strength. But that's why Paul said, "Be not drunk with wine where it is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be yielded to the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit. Never underestimate what the Holy Spirit can do through us. You know, we look at men of the past and we think, "Oh, my days," you know, you look at the likes of Spurgeon and Moody and Hudson Taylor and William Carey, and you think, "Wow, what incredible men." They weren't incredible men. They were men who served an incredible God. That's all. Yeah, but how did they do such great things? Because they were yielded to God. God can use us. God wants to use us. God has chosen to use us. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those who come under its sound. What is holding us back from sharing the gospel today? Are we scared because of what people might think? But what have we got to lose? If we share the gospel with somebody and they reject us, so what? If we share the gospel with a friend and they're no longer a friend because as a result of us sharing the gospel, then we haven't really lost a friend because we never had a friend to start with, if that's the case. Yeah, but they might hate me, they might reject me, they might mock me, they might. Should have, would have, could have, if, when, but we can all use kind of excuses to not share the gospel. But what if the person that shared the gospel with you used the same excuse? What if the person that took the time to sit down with you and show you in the scripture what you had to do to be saved, what if they turned around and said, I better not in case they get mad at me? I'm glad those people took the time to share the gospel with me. And they didn't use the excuse, oh, what if I upset him? What if he doesn't come back? No matter how many excuses we can come up with, the Lord has already answered each and every one. So what excuse do we use the most in our witness? Maybe it's this one. I'm just scared. I'm scared to talk to people about the Lord. I'm scared to share my faith. So how do we overcome that fear? How do we witness for the Lord? Well, we'll have a look next week. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day and this time together and for this opportunity to come around your word, Lord. We do thank you for the fact that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Father, we're thankful for the fact that the Holy Spirit can enable us to do things that we would never be able to do ourselves or in our own strength. And Father, we just pray that you would use us, not just as a church, but individually to reach our loved ones, our family, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors, our colleagues, our classmates. And help us to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be that irrefutable evidence that Christ has made a difference in our lives. And when we come in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, we're in good company. Because then we have the same kind of issues that Paul had. We're all scared about something. But we're thankful for the fact that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Give us the strength that we need, Lord, to be the witness that we have to be in these dark and difficult days that we find ourselves in. And may people see not us, but the Lord Jesus Christ living in and through us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right. If you are from Bethany and you want to start dialing in to Zoom to join the prayer meeting, if you're leaving us online, thank you for joining with us. And we will see you again on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock for our Palm Sunday service. And we will be live as well on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay, I have no idea where all the prayer bulletins went. We did 40 and they've all gone. And we haven't got 40 people in the church. So I have no idea. If you haven't got a prayer bulletin, we will get them photocopied now and hand them up. You haven't got, how many needs a prayer bulletin? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.